Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Renee Grant Williams is our guest, too, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad she's here because she is one of our good friends and a longtime member of our Brain Trust and very smart lady and someone who has contributed significantly to your happiness. If you're a fan of music, if you enjoy music and you like lots of different kinds of music, not just any one particular kind of music, there's a pretty good chance you've enjoyed some music that benefited from Renee Grant Williams' work. She is a voice coach. She's helped some of the top names in the history of music. Names like Faith Hill, names like Tim McGraw, Linda Ronstadt, Randy Travis, Huey Lewis, whom I saw recently at a golf tournament. I saw him on television, I should say. So he's still out there. And she's the author of Voice Power, Using Your Voice to Captivate, Persuade, and Command Attention. She's also the author of some CDs and DVDs. Vocal Masterclass is one of them, and also Vocal Warm-Up. But more importantly, she's our good friend, Renee Grant Williams. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning.
It's good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
It's good to be anywhere, isn't it?
It's always good to be anywhere.
That's right. Exactly right. Well, Renee, one of the things I know you've been working on lately is how to communicate, how those of us who speak English can communicate with others who speak English as a second language. And the reason why I'm glad you want to talk about this, I want to remind folks about a couple of things. Number one, English is the international aviation language. I don't know if you knew that or not. It's the international language of aviation. But English is also now, much to the chagrin, much to the severe and mortifying chagrin of the French, English is also the international language of business.
And you're saying mortifying because it used to be French.
Oh, they can't stand it. Oh, the French are not. This is not a happy time for the French because they don't like that. But anyway, what I was going to say, anytime I get a chance to give a little needle to the French, I like to do that. It's one of the ways I have fun around here. But back to the serious thing, and that is that because English is the international language of business, sometimes I think Americans get a little lazy, and maybe even we come across as a little bit disrespectful, and maybe a little bit, maybe even the ugly American thing. What do you think?
Well, I think we're the only, English speakers are the only people in the world who don't seem to recognize that they need more than one language.
Right.
And our solution to problems of being misunderstood generally lie in, our response to it is just to say the same thing over and over again, louder and louder.
Like, you know, and of course what they should say is, look, I just don't speak your language, I'm not deaf.
right.
Well, but what the other people have done is they've made us lazy, Renee.
We have forced them to adapt, staunchly refusing to adapt ourselves.
Yeah. So you're saying English is the international language of business because we bullied everybody else into speaking our language? Is that what you're saying?
Well, pretty much.
I've never thought about it in that exact. I'm not sure I like that characterization, but it may be true. I will tell you this though, Renee. Whenever I speak with people who speak English as a second language, and I'm in their country or they're in my country, I thank them for making it easier on me. I tell them thank you for speaking English and for taking the extra effort to allow us to be able to communicate.
That's because you have manners, Jim.
My mama raised me right. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
it's
becoming increasingly important not only for international business communication but for dealing with the labor force in our own land.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's another side to the breaching of the wall, and that's more and more people, a greater and greater percentage of our population is non-native English speaking.
But I do think, I will have to tell you, though, and you may take away your compliment you get paid me a minute ago when I say this. I do believe that we should protect English as our, as America's native language, and that if you live and want to assimilate in America, you need to learn to speak English, and that's the language that we should be using, not only in our words, our spoken words, but also in our written words, our documents. I believe that.
I agree 100%. The thing that I find important is if we can learn to communicate in a way that's more clear to people, we can preserve our English-speaking country mm-hmm. as it is, but still communicate better.
What do we need to do? What do English-speaking Americans need to do to help others, whether they're in our nation, in our country, you know, and trying to assimilate, or whether they're visitors, or whether we're traveling abroad and other people are helping us out? What can we do?
Number one rule is slow down. Slow down and speak in sound units, sound bites. Again, the problem is not just volume, but if someone is only barely familiar with the language, they may catch the meaning and the essence of small phrases, but not a whole long, rapid sentence about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And to bring it into focus,
one of the things that I think we've got to do in front of all that, Renee, is look around ourselves and pay attention to what's happening around us and who these people are, what is happening, where am I, and who is this person that who's in front of me, and what's you know, what do I know about their background? Just paying attention and caring a little bit.
Well, one thing also is English has more slang than any mm-hmm. other language in the history of the planet, Jim, and we have 10 or 15 ways of saying something, whereas Spanish, Italian.
But you know what, Renee, I've traveled in the Middle East, and even classic Arabic is not even the same thing as conversational Arabic. And I'll talk about that in just a little bit. We're going to talk some more. Renee's going to talk some more to us, folks, about what we can do to do a better job of helping others speak English as a second language so we can communicate with them. Stay with us. 20 after. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I'm glad you're here. Renee Grant Williams is our guest. She's our good friend and a voice coach extraordinaire, and I encourage you to check out all of the things that she offers, and you can find those on her website. Renee, give it to us, please.
MyVoiceCoach.com.
MyVoiceCoach.com. They can find your book.
They can find my book. They can find anything they need to know about communication.
And the DVD and the CD and all that stuff, right?
Exactly.
All that good stuff. And it's all there, and I encourage you folks to check it out. And you know, Renee, I really am proud of the way you have grown from the way you've grown your as a professional, to go from just the sound of my voice to the words that the sound of my voice produce. And the way we connect with one another, and the way we communicate on so many levels, which is not just the sound and the words, but all the different ways that we communicate, and I really appreciate the body of work that you bring to the table.
Well, thank you. Interestingly enough, I just heard from my publisher in Italy, and my book's just been released in Italian.
Good for you.
And
well done.
Going to be doing a book tour there in March.
You know, give us some other things that we can do to help. We're talking, folks, about how to do a better job of communicating, how to do our part as English-speaking Americans, how to do our part to help people who speak English as a second language, and maybe, Renee, not too well.
One thing is that if you think, put yourself in the shoes of the other person. If you were trying to speak a little bit of Spanish or French or German or Italian that you learned in freshman year at college and were trying to be understood, what would you want people to do to help you be understood?
Mm-hmm.
You'd speak more slowly. You'd leave frequent pauses so that people have time to translate, and stay away from slang, because if the more simple and basic you can make it, the more easily you'll be understood.
See, that's one of the mistakes that I see people make an awful lot, Americans making a lot, when they talk to someone, even in another part of the country, not even in, somebody from another country, but I'm talking about somebody who, an American.
From another country like California?
Yeah, exactly, like the land of the fruits and nuts, exactly. And so they'll use local colloquialisms. They'll use, things that they would speak, the things that they would use at other people in their area, whether it be New York City or Birmingham, Alabama, or Oklahoma, or whatever it may be. They'll use those colloquialisms, and it, in my opinion, it makes them look like they're not really paying attention to what's going on around them. And that's one of the things that somebody taught me a long time ago. Pay attention to where you are, what's happening around you. Recognize that you're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. You're someone else's turf. And they may not understand what you're saying. Try to. When I was with Xerox, one of the things they taught me to do was to not use jargon. That was the main thing. When you don't use industry jargon to talk to customers, and they taught us how to do that same thing with just regular conversations.
That's like computerese as a foreign language.
Exactly, that's exactly right. And when your doctor speaks to you, how many times have you heard your doctor speak to you, and they start using all these acronyms or whatever?
I always wish I had a tape recorder with me when I go for a doctor's visit.
So you
help me translate, so I can pour back over and find out what he or she really did say.
Well, what you ought to do is record that. And then play it back for them and say, now, if you were me, would you understand that?
That is a brilliant idea.
Well, yes. I have that kind of mind, I'm afraid. What are some other things we can do?
Put yourself in their place is the biggest piece of advice I have. Because if you think what it would take for you to be understood, and learn a darn language. it won't kill us. Most Europeans know six or seven languages.
Right. You know, one of the things that I'd like to recommend people do, Renee, we got about a minute left, and that is something that I've done very successfully over the years. Wherever I'm going, whoever I'm going to be around, if I know what language they're speaking, I try to learn a handful of words. Keywords: hello, thank you, how are you, that kind of thing. Or even if, and especially if there's some kind of little colloquialism that I know that they might use, to use that, or some gesture, whatever gesture they use.
The gesture is what the important thing you're mm-hmm. saying right now, Jim, mm-hmm. to show that you have at least taken the time to acknowledge that they are speaking your language and that you're accommodating them by letting them know that you care enough to at least learn as many words as President Kennedy did at the Berlin Wall.
Right. Right. No, it's exactly right. And it's amazing how far that will get you when you're dealing with other people. Renee,
well,
give us your website.
It's common courtesy like every other act of business.
Right. Act like your mama raised you right. Right, right, Renee?
Right.
Give us your website again, please.
It's www.myvoicecoach.com.
Thanks, Renee, for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, Jim.
See you next time. Quick break. Right back with Gene Griseman and maybe President Lincoln. After these messages, 29 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.